Hello everybody, this is Pascal Girard's message for Easter Sunday, the 17th of April 2022. I have to see him and touch him before I believe. Blessed is he who believed without having seen me and without having touched me. The soldiers in charge of guarding the tomb of Jesus had fallen asleep. When they awoke, the stone in front of the tomb had been rolled away and Jesus was no longer there. For the soldiers of the guard, it was an embarrassing affair. Some of them ran into town to the priests and recounted what had happened. The Jews then wondered what they should do. They gave the soldiers a considerable sum of money and made the following bargain with them. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 13. You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. And they promised to appease Pilate if he knew of the incident. As Matthew continues, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Well, this lie is still very prevalent today. Not necessarily that the disciples stole Jesus' body or that there was some other subterfuge, but the lie that Jesus' resurrection was some kind of myth, an event that would have taken place only in the minds of the disciples. The disciples of Jesus would have used this invented story to overcome their grief. Some have referred to Jesus as speaking of the absurdity of his resurrection. It is not surprising that the resurrection of Jesus is so controversial. On the one hand, because it is difficult for us human beings to imagine. On the other hand, because the resurrection is an important pillar of the Christian faith. Whoever rejects the physical resurrection of Jesus tears down the whole edifice of faith. This is why Paul writes, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And in verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." This is why the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus in the Gospels are very important. Several things are striking in these accounts. I don't say surprising, but striking. For me, first the disciples did not have the idea of stealing the body of Jesus, and then they did not believe in the resurrection when the tomb is empty. This is shown in the story that we are going to read together. It is a bit of Thomas's story, a testimony of his incredulity on the day of Jesus' resurrection that I am going to remind you of, even if we are about to hear, on the contrary, the testimony of Dorcas' faith in a few moments. I read verses 24 to 29 of the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I have to see him and touch him first before I believe. On the very evening of the day he was resurrected, Jesus visits his disciples, and one is missing. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. We don't know where Thomas was that night. In any case, he had definitely missed something grandiose. When he returns to the other disciples, they enthusiastically tell him of their encounter with the risen Jesus. They recount that Jesus suddenly found himself in their midst, in a room whose door was closed, and how they doubted in spite of everything. They also tell how Jesus reacted to their doubts because he showed them his hands and his side. The Apostle John tells us in the verses preceding our story, John 20, verse 20, this had convinced them, and since then they were sure that Jesus was really with them. Thomas listens to these stories, but is clearly beyond his imagination. How was Jesus able to live again after his body was so bruised? How could he be brought back to life when a spear was thrust into his body? No, with the best will in the world, he can't believe it. Only by seeing the wounds with his own eyes can he himself be convinced. And he doesn't just want to see Jesus, he wants to see his wounds and even touch them. This is why, even today, if you are called Doubting Thomas, it's not a compliment, but an accusation because of your incredulity. And yet Thomas was not at all incredulous. He was not a stubborn disciple. He was instead a zealous follower of Jesus. I remind you that when Jesus wanted to go to see Lazarus because he was dead, the disciples were afraid of being stoned by the Jews in this village of Bethany with Jesus. Because those of Judea had already wanted to stone the Lord, well, it was Thomas who motivated the disciples by saying to them, "Let us also go that we may die with him." John chapter 11, verse 16. He was ready to die with Jesus. Those who speak of doubting Thomas do him wrong. Thomas wanted, and this is another aspect of him, to know and understand what he should believe and think. Later, shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus told the disciples that he would go to his Father's house to prepare a place for them there, and ended by saying, "You know the way to the place where I am going," John 14, verse 4. At that time, Thomas had no idea what Jesus was talking about, and he wanted to understand what he meant. He therefore spoke for the disciples and said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" John chapter 14, verse 5. We see that Thomas was a courageous and sincere disciple, ready to die for and with Jesus. But Thomas only wanted to believe what he could understand and what corresponded to the facts. And there, this morning, we realise that the resurrection is not a fact for him, not until he has seen Jesus himself. Regarding the resurrection of Jesus, the other disciples were no more believers than Thomas. When they were told that Jesus had risen on Easter morning, they did not believe it. They thought it was a bad joke. It was only when Jesus appeared in their midst that they believed, because it is said in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 16, verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. The disciples understood Thomas very well, and they put up with the fact that he could not yet share with them the joy of the resurrection of Jesus. We probably wouldn't have been different. We too would like to have visible and tangible proof before we believe something. That's not bad either. God does not expect us to believe everything without thinking. Believing does not mean that we have to give up our intelligence. This is a completely false idea of faith, because the proclamation of the gospel is addressed to our intelligence. It is through reason that Paul breaks down false reasoning, as he wrote to the Corinthians. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. It is not irrelevant to know in what and in whom I believe, in whom I place my trust. This is what Paul wrote to Timothy. I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It is precisely in our media-laden age that we must learn to look critically and listen critically. Even in a Christian context, it is important that we first examine what is presented to us before placing our trust in anything or belief. In principle, then, there is nothing wrong with Thomas's critical attitude. A Christian should also be able to be critical, otherwise he would soon adopt heresies, and that is exactly what we see happening today. Yet in this situation, Thomas's mistrust was not justified. Why, we will soon see. Blessed is he who believed without having seen me and without having touched me. A week after the disciples' first encounter with Jesus, he visits them again. Again they are in a locked room. This time, Thomas is also present. We read, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Obviously, Jesus could walk through walls and doors with his resurrection body. The resurrection we expect is not a resurrection from the dead like that of Lazarus. The resurrection is the departure towards a new dimension of life. Jesus had received the resurrection body, and we will also receive a resurrection body. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, but each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. The Bible teaches us that there is a visible world and an invisible world. The invisible world penetrates the visible world. We are surrounded here and now by the invisible world. Thanks to his resurrection body, Jesus was able to move between these two worlds. Thus, Jesus did not walk through the wall or a closed door. Jesus simply passed from the invisible world to the visible world. Jesus, therefore, comes to the disciples and greets them, saying, May peace be with you. Jesus first brings peace. He removes the fear of his followers. Then he turns to Thomas and says to him, Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas, I want you to be sure of yourself. I want you to know that I am risen, because in the future you will tell other people about it. You will be the witness of my resurrection. The gospel that Thomas is going to announce only has force if Jesus is indeed resurrected. Only if Jesus is physically resurrected can death be overcome and people can go to heaven. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas is puzzled. Jesus shows him his wounds, but Thomas no longer wants to touch the wounds. He can only utter one sentence, My Lord and my God. His profession of faith could not be more central, more relevant and clearer, nor shorter, nor more true or worthy of reception. Now his last doubt is lifted. Now everything is clear. Jesus is God. He is facing God, who created the world and keeps everything alive. He sees it with his own eyes. For 3 years he travelled with him. It has never been clearer than now. Now he finally understands what Jesus said to them all, which seemed so mysterious at the time when they asked Jesus to show them God. And Jesus answered, Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus is God. With Thomas's confession, John brought his gospel to its climax. Now it is clear to all, this is who Jesus is. My Lord and my God. John wants to challenge us, our readers, to join this confession. Thomas's confession must become our personal confession. Finally, Jesus tells Thomas something very important. Important for us too. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas, you believe because you saw me, but I will leave this world, and therefore in the future, those who do not see me but who believe can be happy. There is one thing left to understand now. Jesus does not expect the disciples to believe in spite of themselves. Jesus does not expect us to trust him without having a basis for doing so. Jesus rebukes his disciples because they could have believed based on very good foundations. Here are some examples. The Old Testament foretold that the Messiah would rise again. The Jews knew it. This is why they wanted the tomb to be guarded. The disciples witnessed three resurrections. The daughter of Jairus, the son of a widow in the city of Nain, and the raising of Lazarus, who had already been in the tomb for 4 days. The disciples knew that God could do such a thing. In addition, Jesus repeatedly told his disciples that he would be crucified and would rise again 3 days later. Even the Jews who wanted to kill Jesus understood this. The disciples would therefore have had enough good reason to believe that Jesus had been resurrected, even though they had not yet seen him. So, the Bible is our foundation today. It is on this foundation that our faith rests. We must not give up our reason. On the contrary, we should rejoice in the fact that the Christian faith rests on solid foundations. Here's a final thought. In fact, in a way, we can be grateful to the disciples for being so stubborn. This shows us that the resurrection of Jesus was not an idea of the disciples alone. They hadn't made up stories. They only believed in the resurrection of Jesus when they saw him with their own eyes. They are now the men who bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus. This is what they then proclaimed. For example, at Pentecost, which will follow, Peter will say, "God raised this Jesus of whom I am speaking. We are all witnesses to it." If we believe in Jesus and his resurrection, we have good reason to do so. And that is why reducing faith to a philosophy is perfectly unacceptable. We rely on the testimony of the apostles contained in the Bible, which is the truth, not which contains the truth, but which is the whole truth. It is through their testimony that we come to faith. This is why Jesus prayed, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." John chapter 17, verse 20. During the ascension, Jesus withdrew into the invisible world. Paul was the only one to see the risen one afterwards. It is clear that Christians who later come to believe in Jesus will not have seen the risen Jesus. This is how Peter writes with the greatest evidence. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Dorcas, you are one of those people who believe in the risen Jesus. You can join with all of us in the praise of Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Amen.